Dave, you want to pray for us?
Sure.
All right.
Father, thank you so much for the many blessings that you give to us. Thank you for the care that you take with our lives. And we thank you that we have the opportunity still to gather in fellowship in your name. We just ask that you bless this time, that you'd open our hearts. We ask this through your Son's most precious name. Amen.
Amen. All right, what we're going to do is look at some of Paul's earlier doctrines, okay? Some of Paul's earlier basic doctrines. What we're going to see today are similarities between the book written to the Galatians and the book written to the Thessalonians. Now, it's kind of debatable on what book was written first. Nonetheless, they're Paul's first two books, and they're to two different groups of people. But what we're going to look at is maybe different language, different ways of saying it, but same spiritual truths. Okay, we're going to look at six basic doctrines that go between the letter to the Galatian, that area, which is really heavily influenced because of the Judaizers coming in behind Paul and trying to preach a different gospel other than salvation by grace through faith in Jesus. They try and add the law in there as well. Now, Thessalonica, it's way different. It's a Gentile area that's turning from idols to God. Okay? So two different groups of people, the earliest books that Paul wrote, or epistles, whatever you want to say. And let's look at some similarities, okay? We're going to look at some similarities that both these groups are to have, even though the audiences overall are going through different circumstances. There are definitely Gentiles in the area of Galatia. That's not the issue. It's what's the focus? Okay, what's happening? One is looking at it from, hey, we're saved and we're free from the law. Okay? And the other one is, hey, we're saved. Now let's live like we would to God and not live like we survive. Okay? All right. Before we get into this, I want to kind of to see two personal things that Paul has in here, okay? Two personal things. He has personal feelings with each group. Paul has personal feelings with each group. So let's stretch our fingers out. We're going to be going back and forth between Galatia and Thessalonica, or Thessalonians. All right? All right, so the first thing I want us to look at is Paul's personal feelings. Let's go to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. Let's look at verse 19, Galatians 4, 19. My little children, of whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you. So my little children, very personal, right? My little children, I'm laboring in birth with you again until Christ be formed in you. It does take a lot of labor and a lot of labor pains. A, one aspect to give the gospel. And then B, the other aspect of, okay, now that they're saved, laboring with them, like labor pains through seeing them conformed into Christ's image. Sanctification kind of gets, depending on how you look at it, can get kind of misused a lot on what that really means. We're not going to go into a sanctification word study today, but this is what sanctification would look like. Christ being formed in you. Okay? That's the personal feelings that Paul has. Hey, I'm like a mother, you know, going through these birthing pains with you guys until when? Until I'm done. Until I'm tired. No. Until Christ be formed in you. Let's look at this kind of a similar language in 1 Thessalonians. Similar language in 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 2, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and let's look at verse 7. 1 Thessalonians 2, 7. Paul's talking about he and the group that was there at Thessalonica, when they went to preach the gospel there. He says, verse 7, but we were gentle among you, like a nurse caring for her own children. You see how Paul is personally caring for these people, his heart set towards them, okay? Again, we went over this a lot last week. We've gone over a lot since I've been here the last 7 years, is, you know, my relationship with the Lord this way is always priority, so I can have that relationship with people this way, okay? It's always being charged and abiding and fulfilled here so that I can do it appropriately towards others, right? Towards others. So I just kind of want us to look at that, how Paul looks at both these groups, two different groups going through two different things, but the language he uses, right? He's like a nurse caring for her own child, and that has the idea of maybe like a wet nurse. This isn't my child, but I'm caring for it like it is my own. I love it. I'm nurturing it. I'm caring for it, right? So Paul, you know, going there, and even though these are all Gentile people, they might have a different background than Paul, he's emotionally invested in these people. He's lovingly invested, all right? That's going to help us to understand also, what doctrines do I teach a group that I love? What doctrines do I teach a group that I'm emotionally invested in, right? You'll notice, overall, my mind will shift to a systematically approached the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We have to go to church and from the doors are open. We got a bunch of lists. And when I'm emotionally invested, when I love the people I'm talking to, and I use analogies like this, it helps my heart decide, okay, at the end of the day, what do I want a group of people whom I love to actually be taught and do? Right? That makes sense what I'm saying? Yeah, what is it I'm really going to focus on? This could go so many ways on what I'm going to teach these people, okay? Second thing I want us to look at from Paul's perspective here is, the second thing is both groups are suffering. Okay? Both groups are suffering. If we look at Thessalonians while we're here at chapter 2, verse 14. For you, brothers, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus, you also have suffered the same things from your own countrymen as they have from the Jews. Right? So they receive Christ. They're wanting to grow their churches. They're wanting to live for Christ. Just as when the church was first started, they're in Judea. The very first believers in Christ were all Jews, right? And the same suffering, same persecution that the early church went through when it was just Jews only, the same thing is happening to those at Thessalonica, of their own countrymen, right? Those in their area. Whether it's from a Jewish standpoint or an idolatry standpoint, either way, the Thessalonians are going through trials, they're going through suffering, they're going through tribulation. Okay? Let's look at the same language in Galatians. What do we see here in Galatians chapter 1, verse 7? Galatians chapter 1, verse 7. Yeah, for context, go to verse 6. Galatians 1, 6. This is Paul talking. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel. These people are born again. They're not losing their salvation. They're turning away from the Christ that bought them over to trying to now do Judaism, trying to do the law, things that don't even they need to be doing, okay? So save people being tricked. Verse 7, which is not a gospel, but there are some who trouble you who would pervert the gospel of Christ. Okay? There's troubling things happening. There's trial and tribulation happening. The Judaizers, the Jews that are coming in from behind Paul saying, yeah, you can believe in Jesus, but also you have to do these things. You have to follow this. You need to do this. two different groups. But we see Paul's love for both, his emotion, his dedication to both groups. And we also see that in their own way, in their own circumstance, in their own environment, in their own region, they both have suffering and tribulation and trials. That's going to help us, knowing that background, to see, okay, what is Paul going to summarize the doctrines, or what doctrines is Paul going to focus on to these groups of people? What doctrine? That's going to help us to maybe look at it from a whole new mindset on, when I see someone saved, when I personally lead someone to Christ, and or when someone comes to church and they're asking, hey, I want to know more, we now can have a foundation on, most of the time when people receive Christ as their Savior right away, and or young believers in Christ, they're going to be going through a tribulation time, a time of trauma, a tough circumstance. Now, it might not be what I consider tribulation. It might not be what I consider a tough circumstance. But it doesn't matter. We're two different groups of people right now. We're one in the Lord. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. We're united in Christ, but we're going through two different circumstances. So that's going to help us to look at, how do I teach someone? What did Paul focus on? Not to say you're not open to the Holy Spirit guiding you to teach them certain things, but let's just look now at what doctrines Paul focused on. Before I do, what did you guys hear me say?
Doctrines that Paul taught in his first conference.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's good. Right?
And you said that when somebody first accepts the Lord, it's likely that they're going to really encounter a lot of problems.
Mm-hmm. Correct. What else did you guys hear me say?
But it just said he loved the people. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure how far right you want to go.
Yeah, good. So this is a classic, what was said and what was heard, is going to help now with that filter, right? Because each one of us are processing this truth differently. With that filter, but we can all still go together the same direction. Okay, we're all going to go together the same direction on how we're filtering this. All right, doctrine number one, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We're not going to get into what the Holy Spirit is, who he is. We're not going to get into really like what he provides. We're not going to get into all of the things that our systematic theology books go into. Paul is going to teach them the basic of this. The Holy Spirit is in you. The Holy Spirit is in you. All right, that's doctrine number one. So, since we're here in Galatians, we'll just stay here. And we will look at Galatians 3:14. Galatians 3:14. So that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through faith. Through faith Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Okay, so we're receiving the Spirit through faith. The promise of the Spirit being sent, right? Jesus said in John 14, I'm going to go away, but don't worry. I'm going to send the Holy Ghost to you. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you. If I don't go, I can't send him to you. And then one of the most mind-blowing verses that I'm paraphrasing here that goes on in my mind, it's more needful for you that I go away. That blows my mind. It's better that I go so the Holy Spirit can come so you can accomplish more. Because me right now, it's me in one spot doing what I'm supposed to be doing here. But when I go and I send the Holy Spirit in you, all of you now can be just like me, doing what I'm doing in your own Judeas, in your own Jerusalems, in your own Samarias, right? Okay.
Is this spirit the same in both Abraham's time and what Paul's talking about? So it's the same spirit? Because I often wonder if word definitions change over time. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to make sure we're talking about the same thing. So the same spirit that they were looking for in Abraham's time, the same filling, or the same help, the same faith in, is the exact same thing that's happening here?
Yes. So I'm going to answer your question, and I'll give them the other side of it too. So yes, the God spirit is the same God spirit. Different roles. Holy Spirit pre-resurrection could come and go on whoever he wanted. And during the law, he mainly focused on prophets, priests, and kings, right? Now, there's also a spirit of just how I hold myself, right? He's got a good spirit about him. You can say that about an unsaved person, right? He has a good spirit. He has a good focus. He has a good demeanor. He holds himself well. I mean, he speaks certain things well. He's focused on good morals and values. He has a good spirit. But the indwelling spirit, yes, it's the same spirit. Same God spirit. Good.
We can go back further all the way to hovering over the waters, right?
Oh, totally. Absolutely. Good job. Absolutely. Yep, same spirit there during creation. Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. So his first doctrine is the Holy Spirit coming in you. How? Through faith. That's the point that Paul is making. Hey, you didn't receive the Spirit through the law. You received the Spirit when we taught you about Jesus, the death, burial, and resurrection, and you received it. You received the Spirit of God through faith in Jesus. Through faith in Jesus. You did not receive it through faith in the law. So if that's the case, why would you go back to the law to walk on the Spirit when you can never get the Spirit by obeying the law? Right? So that's the main focus there in Galatia. But the truth is the same. It's the Spirit in you. So why go back to the law? Now let's look at 1 Thessalonians. And let's look at verse 6. That's a good question. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6.
I thought I had a couple of different other verses.
No, well. All right, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6. We can go up to verse 5. For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance. Just as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake, you became followers of us and the Lord, having received the word of much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit. Let's go bump over to chapter 4, verse 8. Chapter 4, verse 8. Therefore, he that despises does not despise men, but God, who has also given us the Holy Spirit. Now, we're going to come back to this for a different point, but just to get the context, because we talked about it from the law point of view, you receive Christ through faith in Jesus, you get the Holy Spirit. Therefore, now don't follow the law. Let's see what the Holy Spirit means for the believers at Thessalonica, what to do. Chapter 4, verse 3. Chapter 4, verse 3. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from all sexual immorality, that each one of you should know how to possess his own vessel, sanctification and honor, not unless of depravity, even as the Gentiles who do not know God, and that no man take advantage of and defraud his brother in any manner, because the Lord is the avenger in all these things, as he also hath forewarned you testified. For God has not called us to uncleanness, but to holiness. Therefore, so knowing what is said above, he that despises not despise man, but God, who has also given us his Holy Spirit. So, since the Holy Spirit is in us, Thessalonians, Now you abstain from these things. Okay? Now you don't do these things anymore. Yes, when you served false idols, you did these things also. But now, like chapter 1 says, how you've turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, the Holy Spirit's in you. Now, therefore, no more living like unsaved Gentiles. No more living like them. So the doctrine of the Holy Spirit in practicality is, to the Galatians, don't go back to the law. Those of Thessalonica, Holy Spirit's in you through Jesus Christ. Don't go back to living an unclean life. Okay, you now live to live in a holy life. So knowing the basics of the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, knowing why the purpose Paul taught it, what does that do for you now moving forward on maybe how you would explain, hey, the Holy Spirit's in you, therefore? How would that help you? What would that do to you? What does that change maybe in your approach? Anything?
Yeah, I think that instead of thinking that we have to pick ourselves up by our bootstraps, I think it's better to be communing with the Lord all the way through the day, and the Holy Spirit enables us to do that.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely.
Leads into all truth.
What's that?
The Holy Spirit leads into all truth.
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. Excellent. Anything else?
I just said when the Holy Spirit first comes in, we were talking about this the other night, the center, we're still in the center of our life. And so this is part of the process to remove ourselves from the center and replace it with Christ.
Yes. Bingo, bingo, bongo. Love it. So you see just the practical side of a doctrine, right? Were you going to say something? Oh, the practical side of a doctrine. The Holy Spirit has come in you. Because you trusted Christ as your Savior, He's in you now. Therefore, to whatever group I'm dealing with, let's get practical. The Holy Spirit has come in you. Therefore, you don't have to be depressed. You don't have to be anxious. You don't have to be fearful. You don't have to be upset. You don't have to be angry. You don't have to be, fill in the blank, right? The Holy Spirit, so the person I'm dealing with, okay? The person I'm dealing with, the Holy Spirit's in you to now not do these things, and to now do these other things. You have the power of the Spirit. That's what comes with this Holy Spirit in us, right? It is now God's power doing what God desires according to God's commands. That's how I'm able to fulfill every command that I receive from Jesus Christ, whether it's through Paul's writings, through Peter's writings, through James' writings. It doesn't matter what New Testament writer. There are over 140 commands given to believers in Christ. Over 140 commands given. How am I going to do all of those? The very first doctrine Paul focused on. The Holy Spirit in you. That's how. That's how. So now it's, okay, the Holy Spirit's in me. I need to now understand that it's the power of the Holy Spirit. It's the power of the Word of God. It's the power of obeying. Okay? So there's transitions. There's transitions. Okay? The Holy Spirit, in and of Himself, doesn't need anything from me to do what He wants me to do. But what my mind needs to understand what I am to do. The first part of understanding is learning what to do. I got to feed my spirit with the information it needs to get me to act on what I need to do. So things that are said, what's going to happen to things that are said? Several times, I'm going to forget, right? Things that are said, several times I forget, okay? People don't have bad memories. Your brain is designed by God to flush out information. It doesn't want to hold information in there. It's cycling through to see, what do I need to survive? What do I need to survive? What do I need to survive? So if I overload with information, I think to myself, I have a bad memory because I can't recall. Well, your brain is only going to want to recall what's valuable, what's important, okay? And a lot of that comes with what I see. I can remember what I see. I can remember watching someone walk in love. I can remember being around someone and how they acted. I can remember seeing someone. Have you ever noticed this? Has this ever happened to you? And it's not a trick question. I'm going to tell you, chances are no. Have you ever walked up to someone and said, oh man, you know, I forgot your name, but I remembered your face. Well, that's probably true, right? I forgot your name, but I never forgot your face. Let's flip-flop that. I remembered your face. I remembered your name, but I forgot your face. That doesn't happen. When I can link a name to someone's face, I don't forget their name. Right? I can forget their face, but I never stop remembering their name. How many of you are not more confused than before?
Yeah.
Okay. When I see someone, I remember you. I remember your face. But I don't go to myself, man, I remember that guy's face, but I don't remember his name. I don't remember his name, but I remember his face. There is a memory there, right? When I remember things, because I see them, I don't always necessarily understand. The things that I do are the things I understand. The things that I do are the things I understand now. Even if it's a perspective on I'm not good at it at the beginning, or I practiced this and I got feedback. There's no failure, only feedback. I did this action and this was the response. So things that are said will easily be forgotten. Things that are seen can easily be remembered. Things that are done can be easily understood. The Holy Spirit needs all three for my brain. So I need to read what is required. Information, 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 information. How do I see that being lived out through Paul, through Peter, through James, through Titus, through Timothy? How do I see that lived out in my day, through Dave, through Julie, through Betty, through... I can see it, right? I can see what walking in the Spirit looks like. Okay, now I'm going to do it also and experience it for myself so that now I can understand when Paul says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Now, you might know that intellectually, but you never actually maybe put it to practice. You don't know what he's saying. You don't understand. And many times, what happens is, I quote a verse for a circumstance that I've never been in, therefore, I'm quoting a wrong verse because I don't actually understand what that verse actually means. I'm misquoting it. I don't understand it. Now, once I take that Bible verse and actually practice and live that Bible verse out, I can go, oh, now I get it. Now I understand how I can have joy through all my circumstances. Now I get it. Why? Because I'm practicing that. I'm doing it. I understand what it means now. Now I have a perspective, right? People can say, I just don't understand the Bible. I don't understand. What they're really saying is, I'm not practicing much of what the Bible says. I'm not living out or practicing much of what the Bible says. Now, that's not necessarily bad, right? Everyone starts in the beginning. Everyone starts somewhere. We have two groups. One that was saved through Christ, now wanting to go back to the law. One group is saved through Christ, now being persecuted by those that have served false idols and those in their area, and being pressured to live unclean lives. Two different groups, going through two different things, but the power of the Spirit to defeat both is in both groups. Practical Holy Spirit doctrine, right? Practical. I don't need necessarily know all the ins and outs. You know, is the Holy Spirit God? What gifts do I get? What, you know, and have all these questions. Those questions are good. But if you look at the basic practicality, the Holy Spirit's in you, when I actually start doing what Paul is saying to do, my spirit can now show my brain, this is what I mean by that. Because the Spirit that's in you is the same Spirit that told Paul what to write down. So now that I start practicing, okay, in Thessalonica, I'm going to abstain from sexual immorality. I'm going to abstain from, where am I at here? Chapter 4. This is the will of God, sanctification, abstain from sexual immorality, that he may possess his own vessel, sanctification, not in the depravity, even as the Gentiles who don't know God, and that no man should take advantage or defraud his brother. I'm not going to do that anymore. Why? Because the Lord is the avenger of all things. As we have forewarned you and testified to you, God has not called us to uncleanness. Holy Spirit's in you. Don't do unclean things, but unto holiness. Now, practical indwelling of the Holy Spirit. What not to do and what to do. What were they supposed to do with the Holy Spirit in them? Verse 9 of chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 9. As concerning brotherly love, you do not need me to write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. And indeed, you do have love for all brothers who are Macedonian. But we urge you, brothers, that you increase more and more. In what? Love. Learn to be calm. Holy Spirit's in me. I can be calm, but it's something I need to learn. And to conduct your own business, do your own work with your own hands, as we commanded you, so that you may walk honestly towards those who are outsiders, and that you may lack nothing. Okay, that's practically what to do. Holy Spirit's in me. You guys are already, we were told by Timothy that you guys love each other. That's fantastic. Abound more and more. Learn to be calm. The Holy Spirit can give you that calmness. But you have to learn it. How do I learn to be calm? How do I learn that?
I think that when you feel the Lord convicting you to settle down and you actually submit to that, then it just gets easier next time to submit.
Absolutely.
Yeah, listening.
Listening.
When God's talking to you in that moment.
Yep. So I'm listening. I'm going to act on it. It'll be easier the next time. The very first step is I need to be put in an uncalm position. Right? That's step number one. I am in an environment or a circumstance that is not calm. I cannot be reactive in my behavior on the circumstance bringing anxiety, bringing me in calmness. I have to yield. I have to listen. I have to obey. That means I have to trust the Holy Spirit in me that all things will work together for good to those who love God upon purpose, even though my circumstance says panic, run, freak out, do this irrationally. Right? My circumstance wants me to have a knee-jerk reaction. So I'm put in an uncalm situation. How do I learn to be calm? I yield to the Holy Spirit that's in me. And you know what? Even if what that circumstance coming my way is true, I know I'm going to be just fine. I know I'm going to be just fine. Dennis?
I think it comes back to knowing our position in Christ.
Bingo. They're getting ahead of me, and I love it. That's what's happening right now, guys, is you guys know where I'm probably going to be going. You guys know. That's great. All right. We won't go over the rest right now, but to talk so you guys can look at it moving ahead, we're also going to see these doctrines, okay? We're also going to see how we receive Christ, which is by faith. We're going to look at and see both groups have faith and love and what to do with faith and love. We're going to look at the doctrine of walk to please God. We're going to look at both flesh versus spirit. And we're going to look at another doctrine on serving one another. Both groups have these commands. Both groups have these teachings. Both groups have these doctrines. Two different groups. Going through three different things, but Christ in them, their position in Christ, is able to attack both circumstances. Really, really neat. All right, let's see. Judy, will you pray for us?
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the richness of your word and how it changes our lives and how much you love us and you desire to have each one of us know you better and to serve you and to serve one another in love. And we thank you for the teaching of Pastor Jesse, and I pray that you continue to guide and direct him as he will preach the sermon next service, and I pray that you just bless each one of us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.